You are tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is hosting a two-hour live panel discussion this upcoming Earth Day, April 22nd, airing from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. Our panel is titled State of Oregon's Environment 2024. KBOO is organizing the event and the panelists. We will have 5 to 6 folks from different environmental issue disciplines. Each panelist will speak to their work and then be available for a Q&A session by phone with our KBOO audience. Again, this upcoming Earth Day, April 22nd, 2 to 4 p.m., tune in for our live panel, State of Oregon's Environment 2024. Our air room phone lines will be open by the end of the panel, here on your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Now, there is no doubt that we are living in a time of significant global upheaval and change. If you are empathetic feeling type, you will feel the perturbations more frequently and sharply than others. And today, psychic empath Suzanne Worthley, an accomplished intuitive energy practitioner, shares her new book on how, as an empath, you can still live an empowered life, energetically protect yourself and your loved ones, and contribute in a meaningful way to create a more positive, life-affirming reality. Our guest today is Suzanne Worthley, author of the new book, The Confident Empath, a complete guide to multidimensional empathing and energetic protection. Now, Suzanne has been a quantum energy healing practitioner and psychic empath for more than 2 decades. She offers individual energy healing sessions, teaches about consciousness studies and energy work, plus hosts metaphysical and healing events, including spiritual tours of Peru and Sedona, Arizona. Suzanne additionally offers webinars, meditations, workshops, and products, including a monthly membership-based online community, Vibe Tribe, and a podcast, Energy Unleashed, on YouTube. Well, hello, Suzanne, and welcome to the Pathways Show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So let's start by asking, why was it important for you to write this book and share it with the world?
Yeah, I appreciate that question because it is a very timely book, in my opinion. A lot of people that I see as clients that have been coming to me over even just the last 2 years in terms of being empathic and actually now empathing has really, really increased. And I'm noticing how really these volatile energies that we're traversing on this planet are really starting to affect people overall. So I think the timing was, it was time.
Now, how can a person tell if they are, okay, we live in these chaotic times, and as you point out in the book, and I'm going to quote you, our collective consciousness field is currently filled with fear, which clouds discernment. Well, is this giving rise to more empathy, or is it simply revealing more that more people are empathic? Or how do you tell the difference between an empath and somebody who's just really sensitive? Because I think everybody is sensitive to the uncertainty and the fear factors.
Right. There really, if we can start at the kind of foundational concept of there's a difference between being empathic, which is really a birthright of being human. Being empathic is our ability to step into somebody's shoes, to be able to feel what they feel, to be able to really be emotionally connected to their situation or their struggle. But an empath not only steps in their shoes, it takes their shoes and it steals their shoes and it leaves with their shoes and it takes all of the emotions and the struggles that that other person has and makes them theirs. And so the empath is actually doing a sense of energy transference that's stealing the actual energy, and hence it hurts both parties. So there really is a tremendous difference between the two kinds of energies. So a lot of people think that, oh, I'm just an empath or empathic. I'm just empathic, but they're empathing, meaning having energy transference and vampirism in their field. And that's pretty detrimental to our health.
So yeah, you make a distinction between what you call true empathy, which you say is love-based, and the process of empathing, which is fear-based. Can you explain that?
The way that I explain it in the Confident Empath book is I talk about our human vessel here. We're much like a vehicle of source energy. And so we are connected to that source energy, and our gasoline is our life force. It's our prana, our chi, all of those yogic words that we hear, you know, and then we have a tank, and our gas tank is our auric field. And our auric field is really what we're talking about when we're empathing. And we need to have that auric field in great shape, or we lose our gasoline. And so when we're empathing, we're doing it because it's fear-based. I have no fuel, so I'm going to go steal some. I don't feel good enough. I don't feel enough or safe or worth, etc. And so I'm finding myself working in words like, I have to, I can't, I should, I need to. Those kinds of things are very fear-based. And when we move over to the other side of the fuel into a love-based fuel, then we're using words like, I get to, I'm choosing this, I'm empowered. So it's a really big difference in the base of the fuel.
Okay, so let's say that you're somebody who's empathic. In other words, you're capable. You say everybody's got empathy. All mm-hmm. You believe all human beings are empaths.
To right? some extent, sure. Yep.
Okay, well, what good is that? Okay, if I'm just going to steal energy from people, that's not good. What you know, how do I make it good?
The truth of it is A, we're the empathy and knowing how somebody feels and being able to relate to them and have compassion is a beautiful thing for oneness. We can find a love-based connection there. But when we are doing this, like taking it and stealing it in that fear-based connection, if we're trained, it's still an awesome thing to be able to be an empath. I'm a full-body empath, and I love being an empath because I can connect to amazing things that are what we would call invisible to a lot of other people, like land energy or off-planet energy or spirit energy. So to me, if you're trained, being an empath even is just a fantastic way to connect. It's awesome. But most of us aren't trained because no one really knows even the difference between empathy and empathing.
And so the training probably has to do with having some sense of boundaries about it or
huge.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because I mean, I've always thought, well, it's good to be empathic. It's good to be sensitive. It's good to care about other people's feelings to the extent that you could even feel it. Mm-hmm. That really helps you. It's good to walk in other people's shoes, but you're pointing out it's not necessarily good if you don't have some training. Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. The training is the actual belief system first and foremost. The book actually starts out, you know, shed what you've been taught, because most all of us have some distorted belief systems from our childhood. And those are really rooted in things like, I'm supposed to put everybody else first and I come last. And oftentimes this happens with women and mothers even more so, because we put everybody and everything first, and I have to go over there and do this, and I should do this. And so we're last, and we don't have enough fuel, because that's considered selfish if we come first. So in this information, I present the word selfish differently, as in self-love, self-care, self-fuel. It's important for me to have a self-fuel first with a really good tank in my auric field with a boundary that says, okay, I'm able to discern this is toxic for me, or I've done too much, or I need some quiet time, etc.
That's very selfish. You know, I remember, I remember once when I was kind of coming of age, I was in college, and I had this argument or this altercation with my mother, and I had been brought up in a very strict Catholic family with seven kids.
Yeah.
And the word selfish was really a weapon of control.
Yep.
And it was used quite often. And then my mother says to me this particular day, she goes, you're just selfish. You're just being selfish. And I had the presence of mind for the first time in my life. I said, you know what? I am selfish. I am 100% selfish. I have never done anything I didn't want to do for some reason or another. And I said, you know what? The same thing applies to you. And I think selfish is just a word that controlling people use to manipulate others. I don't think there's anything righteous about it. But that was the last time she ever called me selfish.
I can just see your mouth like dropping as you're talking. Yeah, that's pretty bold. But, you know, a lot of us, and I'm not making fun of people's dogmatic beliefs, but a lot of us Catholics, you know, really did have the selfish hammer over our head all day long, you know.
I'll make fun of other people's righteous beliefs. I'll fill in for you.
Okay.
How did you, just a kind of a general question for our audience, what's the difference between empathizing and reacting with sympathy?
Well, sympathy really holds a lot of pity and woe is me for that person under there. And actually what that's doing then, Paul, is it's giving my beliefs are putting a judgment on that person that they're not enough or it's not enough or their situation isn't good. So we're really throwing down judgment when we work with pity and sympathy. There isn't like a neutrality to it. And when somebody is really going through a spiritual balanced journey, we really hold neutrality in observer mode. We don't pity. We don't have sympathy. We just hold empathy. You know, we understand that, hey, this is their journey. This might be their soul contract. It's okay. I'm just going to follow from the sidelines as a cheerleader, and I'm not going to try to manipulate the energy.
Now, was it difficult for you to figure out that you are an empath?
Well, you know, the word didn't, it's a buzzword that's like everybody uses it like Kleenex and Xerox now. You know, way back when that wasn't even a thing. It was just we were highly sensitive with quotes around it, you know. And then when you actually got to own a little bit of, oh, you're kind of sensitive psychic, and those all started to evolve. And then boom, this word came out. And now everybody uses it like, you know, almost haphazardly. Oh, I'm an empath. And they kind of, you know, flip the hair and they don't understand how dangerous that can be. So I didn't know I was an empath per se. I knew I was psychic and I knew that I was sensitive. But as the word came forward, I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding? I, you know, if you take one of those tests, I hit every bullet for sure.
I see. So there is a test. I mean, what percentage of the population could be considered empaths?
I think everybody empaths to some extent. For example, when we go into the grocery store or a fairgrounds, you know, or a concert or something like that, we're bombarded with things. When we're watching the media, when we're doing movies, when we're having news, it's boom, we're getting, you know, social media, boom. So we're all empathing to some extent, but the general empath or the general public just disperses it very quickly without even thinking about it. The second category gets their butt kicked a little bit, which is called a sensitive empath. They're the ones that are like, oh my God, I can feel everybody in the grocery store. And oh my God, everybody in the bar tells me their problem, you know? And so it just keeps escalating as it goes up. And then the psychic sensitive empath is the one that goes, oh my God, I can't even walk through this building because I can feel all the residual energies from 150 years and there's a ghost in that corner and on it goes. So it can be really escalated.
You know, growing up, I was a sensitive child. And astrologically, I have moon in Cancer, which adds to that. And I always considered it a curse. You know, I say, oh, fuck, I don't want to be so sensitive. It's not helping me. And, you know, and I sort of admired, you know, leaders and such who were just more hardcore. And that brings up a class of people who are not empathic, in fact, who are anti-empathic, which are narcissists.
Yeah. And
narcissists are, you know, what everybody's got parts that are narcissistic. Every 2-year-old's a narcissist, but most of us outgrow it, but some people don't.
Oh, yeah, some don't.
I'm thinking of an ex-president in particular. And, you know, and you look at somebody like that and you say, oh, that's the secret of his success. That's what I need to do to be successful. I need to become less sensitive. What would you retort to that?
Yeah, the difference is this. Those people do have a whole lot of stuff going on, and that narcissist is actually still empathing. They may not have empathy, but they are definitely empathing because they are bombarding everybody's field and stealing it because they have no self-worth under here. They have no self-control. They have no self-anything. And they're presenting as something that they truly aren't. We can all, most of us, see through that, right? And so they are really empathing with their behaviors and their vibrato. So they may not have empathy, but they're still doing the energy stealing. They're the dangerous ones. And most oftentimes, they're very controlling. They're very mesmerizing. They can, you know, manipulate the crowd, the media, etc. We all know that. And so those are very, very dangerous people. And most of the time, they are in personal relationships with people that are very empathic and really not able to hold their ground to their boundary, and they just suck them dry all day long. So it just keeps going. They're dangerous.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah.
We are looking at that right now.
Yeah, right. And I mean, that's right there. You know, that's scary stuff. And so think of the confusion when they present themselves as, this is the way that I got my power and I have to be, you know, I have to cut off feelings. Well, that's the crap that we've been living in for how long, for eons of, you know, the bull crap coming down from patriarchal top-down management style. You know, I mean, it's all fake. Because why? Because if you truly felt and you really understood, feel, you would never treat people the way those people treat people. And so, yeah, the feel center is what this is all about. And it's been pretty messed up in a lot of people for eons.
For sure. Now, you trained yourself over years of practice to use your psychic sensitive abilities of empathing to do your work and live your life as an intuitive. You know how to, this is, I'm quoting you now, you know how to turn empathing on and off, and most empaths do not. So is this something that you teach people? To what extent do you think your book is going to help people learn how to do that?
Yeah, I definitely wrote the book because I did not have that training and it was a lot of hit or miss. And so there's a lot of empath books out there, but they're mostly talking about people to people. And I believe that's a huge piece of this. But somebody like me was actually really getting affected by the multidimensional worlds, by the spirit world, by the land, by the buildings. And that's why I put all those client stories in there, which are quite fascinating because we don't think about that. That's where I really got in trouble as being a psychic sensitive. And so I train people with the book. I have a class, in fact, the first weekend of May here in Minnesota. I do it up in a haunted hotel because it's got really cool energies that we, you know, traverse the whole weekend. I definitely train my clients. I do all kinds of things in mentoring with it. And the book has step by step by step actual protocols and strategic, you know, like steps, literal steps to go through it. So I
Right.
think it's super helpful.
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed it. And now you point out in the book that there are different kinds of empathy, and you mentioned emotional empathy, you mentioned compassionate empathy. Can you speak to the different types?
Well, we have all of the different empathing empathies. We have emotional, which is really more in our emotional field. I want to talk about that a second and segue off because the emotional field is very interesting for the empath and empathing. Most of us think that we're feeling. Humans think they're feeling, and they're actually think feeling. And this is really a big piece of the book is to really cultivate your true emotions and understand your feel centers that are real true feels. So I would say something like, hey, Paul, how do you feel about that? And you're like, fine. Paul, that's not a feel. Okay, that's good. No, that's not a feel. You know, we don't get to the feels. And so this is really important for the emotional empathing. The mental empathing keeps us in that actual hamster wheel, and it just goes around and around and ruminates, and we never get to the feel. So all of these things that we do, we want to get into the belly of the sacral. And most people hide their feelings, or we're taught that those aren't, especially poor men, God forbid, don't feel. That's not masculine. That's not what we do in this family, you know, all of that. And then poor psychic people, we've been called nuts since day one. You don't really see that dead person. Well, kind of I do, grandma, you know. So it's these different areas have been really kind of squashed out of us over the years. And it's important for us to own that we have all the different fields. We have a physical field, an emotional field, a mental field, and a spiritual field. And empathing happens in all of these.
Do you think that this is a golden age of empathing? I mean, given all of the stuff we have to deal with, the chaos, the uncertainty, the complication. I mean, life is so complicated. Do you think that that's actually pushing us through some kind of initiation towards becoming more empathic?
I do. I love the word. Yeah. It's the ascension process. And if you study ascension, you know that this is a disillusionment of the hologram of patriarchy. We're getting rid of the holographic programs that keep us enslaved. And the only reason we're enslaved is because of the Trinity that is stuck within ourselves. We don't feel safe. We don't have worth. We don't feel enough. These are the buzzwords that kill us all. And we don't understand they're all illusionary. So a lot of empaths have incarnated, in my opinion, on this planet during this ascension time period to activate others in their feel centers so that their true feel of emotion, which is the most powerful, comes forward. Because boy, in the past, we've had thought and we know our action. That's only two of the Trinity. We have thought emotion, and action. We've been programmed to just think and told how to act. But boy, oh boy, when we get our true feel emotion inside of us, my emotional body says, oh, hell no, I am not believing that. Or, oh, no, 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 not that person. Or, you know, so this is the power that's being ignited right now because the empaths are back on planet. I think it's super important.
You talk about soul contracts in the book. I found that fascinating. And so it seems like, you know, well, I'd like you to define that for us, but also I'm questioning about you come into this lifetime and you have somehow we get these core beliefs that you mentioned. I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not safe. I can't handle it. Whatever those core beliefs are, is that part of our, did we make a soul contract to come in and have to deal with that kind of thing?
Yeah, again, take what resonates. This is my opinion, but I truly, from my work, believe in talking with both sides of the veil also that we do. We pick our family. We pick our children. We pick our parents. We pick our grandchildren. We pick our grandparents. We pick our enemies. We pick our friends. And so these soul contracts, the ones that are really, really important to our growth, yes, we do, in my opinion, pick them. And oftentimes we have a really difficult childhood of, say, like abuse or abandonment or not being seen or heard, because that's the curriculum that I signed up for. So my goal in being the empath is to come through that curriculum and find the other side of empowerment, not fall victim to the curriculum. And this is tough because people don't really think or talk or study enough, in my opinion, about soul contracts. So my belief systems change when I can honor the fact that somebody has signed up for that. I've signed up for being sick. I've signed up for losing my job. I've signed up for losing my kids. And we can have a different feeling, and pity and sympathy and manipulation. All that stuff goes away when we can honor soul contracts.
You know, I sort of half remember asking to be sent to Utopia, and it hasn't, it hasn't worked out that way. Years ago, before you became fully aware, you had an extremely negative encounter with a powerful psychic vampire. Tell us about psychic vampires.
Oh, yeah. This was a gal that wanted me to be involved in a pretty powerful project that would have given her a lot of money and fame. And I was really an integral piece of that. And without me, the project wasn't going to move forward. And when I actually got to know this person a little bit better, I found the integrity level was just not there. And I stepped out of the project and she was more than ticked. And she lived quite a ways away from me, a couple states over. And when we left that, parted from that actual time together where we were doing kind of a retreat to see if this would work, I could feel the daggers coming across the country, across the states. I could feel the manipulation just come in. I mean, it was crazy strong, and I would be seriously like doing the dishes, and all of a sudden this manipulation energy would just come oozing through my house and strangle around, you know, cords around the body, and it was insane. So I, like I said, there wasn't a lot of training for me. I learned a lot of this stuff on my own. You can only cut so many cords until you have to figure out some bigger boundaries and some stronger stuff, right?
And how did you defend against that, or how did you learn to defend against that kind of thing?
One of the most important things that I would share on that is, A, don't believe in it, because our beliefs create our reality, right? And I was sort of getting deeper and deeper into the fear again of here it comes again and it's going to come again. And oh my goodness, until one day I was fed up and I'm like, no, you are not allowed in my space. You are not allowed in my house or my heart, much less my yard. And I started doing perimeter work and boundary work really stronger. And cutting cords is very important, but it's the actual discernment process, being able to nip it in the bud, flip your paradigm, you know, bring in your guidance and bump it up as far as boundaries, et cetera. So I got pretty strong after that. And like anybody else, when we get our butt kicked in something, we usually come out stronger in the end, right?
Is there any way to help people like a psychic vampire or a narcissistic personality disordered person?
I literally do have compassion for them because I know that they're struggling with their worth value. And so I just, we coin it love bombs. I'll just send love bombs their way, but I won't do anything further than that. It's unconditional. I'm not here to send you a love bomb to make sure that you did something different, or it's conditionalized and it's discorded.
Right, right. Well, we're just about, we've only got a couple of minutes left. What important message would you like to share with the world when it comes to energy?
Well, everything is energy. I mean, my whole life became energy. I was corporate for a long time, and then I realized even when I was corporate, I was working in energy. That's all it is, and we are. And so the more adept someone can be in working to understand the difference between the fuel of fear versus love, using the words, I have to, I can't, I should, I need to, that's all unempowering. Really standing in your place of power saying, I'm choosing this, I'm doing this, that's the start. It really is.
Right. And you, tell us just briefly about your other book, An Energy Healer's Book of Dying. That sounds fascinating to me. The whole idea of death and reincarnation is something I think we need to face up to a lot more.
It's a great book. And sadly, it got launched right when COVID hit. And I think everyone got their, you know, world shaken so much that, in my opinion, it would have been great timing, but everyone wasn't ready. But now that the book number two came out, this one is catching up real well. It is my experiences of being a hospice worker with a psychic vantage point. So it literally is the death process, how I see it as I help people die and cross over in terms of shutting down their auric fields and their chakras and their fuel and working with their belief systems. And the client stories in there are amazing. It's really, I think, a very beautiful book. We're all going to die, you know?
I know. It's very timely. Especially the older we get. I think I'm going to get that book and ask you to come on the show and talk about that one too.
Yeah, it's a great book. And I get a lot of compliments on that. I love hospice. I think it's such an honor. It's such an honor.
Well, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
You know, there's so much more we could explore. Your book is chock full of stuff and we've barely scratched the surface, but we have run out of time. And I want to make sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is www.sworthley.com. That's sworthley.com, as in Suzanne Worthley. And for those who may have tuned in to Pathways late today, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. Now, don't worry, you can play and or share this interview whenever you want, via the internet, as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Suzanne Worthley, author of Confident Empath, The Complete Guide to Multidimensional Empathing and Energetic Protection. And I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm. every Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific time. But even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com, and that's spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes, Paulo's YouTube channel, and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and podcasts. And thanks again to Suzanne Worthley, and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Demento, and you are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.